Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
Lord God, we come before you and we give you thanks that we can come and we can worship you. We can worship you in song. We can worship you in prayer. We can worship you as we read your word and as we hear your word. And Father, we pray that you would be pleased with our worship this morning. Father, we ask that you would guide us into understanding this morning. And Father, as we look at the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives in the context of living as risen people, I pray that you would clarify maybe some areas where we're a little bit fuzzy, that you would direct us more clearly and more accurately to what your word says, and that we would be faithful to follow you, regardless of how we feel, regardless of what the world may say, but that we would follow you as followers of Christ, faithfully and truly and according to your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the topic of risen. How do we live as risen people? And what I mean by risen is that Jesus rose from the grave. He identified with us on the cross whenever he died on behalf of our sins. And then if we are followers of Christ, we are identified with Christ. And we are identified not only in his death, that is, we are dead to our sin. We are to consider ourselves dead to sin, as we looked at last week. But also, we have been raised, we have been resurrected, co-resurrected with Jesus in order to live a qualitatively different life, an eternal life, a spiritual reality that he has given to us. And today, I want us to go to Romans chapter 8. And as we kind of wrap up this series, I want us to look at the idea of walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit as risen people. Sometimes we use that phrase, walking in the Spirit. What does that mean? And if you ask a number of people, you would probably get a lot of different answers as to what it means to walk in the Spirit. So today, I just want to give you, first of all, a warning. And then I want to give you a couple of definitions that you probably have heard before, but let's just review them anyway. And the warning is this. Sometimes we hear things and we say things that sound really good. They sound very accurate, but they're not. And sometimes we hear things that are truly biblically accurate, and we just feel like that can't be true. And so I just want to give you that warning, because today as we start going through God's Word, and we're just going to look at what God's Word says, sometimes when we go through God's Word is going to say, this is the truth, and my feeling is going to be, no, that can't be true. It's got to be something else. But I have to be able to say, regardless of what I feel, I need to go by what God's Word says. Now, the second thing I want to do is just give you some definitions, because there's one word that we are going to hear again and again and again in this passage that we're looking at this morning, and that is the word flesh. Now, if you have listened to some other series that we've done in the past, I've defined this before. I just want to define it again, just as a reminder. It may be the first time that some of you hear this definition. But the Bible uses flesh in three, and maybe you could break it down into more, but three major ways. One is to refer to actual flesh, actual meat, actual muscle tissue, the actual physical tissue of a human or an animal, referred to as flesh. A second way the Bible uses the word flesh is to refer to humanity, or all those things that are mortal, all those things that ultimately die, flesh and blood. And the third major way the Bible uses the word flesh is the way we're looking at it today. And that word flesh is a reference to how we once lived, the patterns, the sinful pattern of our lives before we come to Christ. So what does that mean for us if we are followers of Christ? First of all, let's back up and talk about what does it mean before you follow Jesus, all right? Not just for the followers of Christ, but before you follow Jesus. The Bible says that whenever we come to Christ, we make a decision to follow him, our old self dies. We looked at that last week. Our old man, our old woman, our old self is crucified with Christ on the cross. So that old self is dead and done and over. But the flesh, those are the habits, the sinful patterns of that old person. Now, before you come to Christ, you're that person. You're that old person. You're still living as that old person. You're controlled by sin as that old person, that old self. That old self is just your normal self before you come to Christ. But after you come to Christ, the old self dies and you have a new self. You are a new person in Christ. We're going to look more at that in just a moment. And that means that even though you're a new creation in Christ, the sinful patterns of who you once were still linger. And those sinful residual patterns of sin, that's what the Bible refers to as the flesh. And so we are to combat the flesh. We are to do battle with the flesh. And we are to do battle by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, who lives within us and who comes and indwells each of us as we become followers of Christ at the moment of salvation. So what does that look like, though, whenever we kind of live that out? Well, a few things. I want to start with Romans chapter 8. I just want to read this section just a few verses at a time, and I want to start with verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So the first thing we find is that the Holy Spirit gives a new alignment with God, a new alignment with God. We've looked at the idea of setting your mind before in this series, but I just want to reiterate that. God helps you to set your mind by the person of the Holy Spirit living in us. He helps us to set our mind to refocus our desires upon the things of God. He gives us, as one old pastor said, a brand new set of want-tos. Have you ever had a want-to that was running contrary to what God wanted you to do? Well, that's what the flesh will do. But the Holy Spirit gives us a brand new set of want-tos. And notice in verse 7, it says, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. If our minds are set upon the patterns of who we used to be, if we're followers of Christ, then we are unable to follow God's commands. It's impossible. If we are living and setting our minds according to the sinful patterns of who we once were. But the Holy Spirit gives us a new alignment with God. Listen to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit. That is, let your everyday life keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. And so we find in God's word that we find that we have desires from the fleshly standpoint, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he has desires and he is operating within us. And those good, holy, godly desires that the Holy Spirit gives us, they stand in contrast and they combat the desires of our flesh. And they never agree. I talked to a guy one time in a Sunday school class many years ago. And he sat down and he said, everything in me agrees with this particular decision I'm making. He said, in fact, my flesh even agrees with that. And I said, what do you mean by your flesh? And he said, the definition that you always use. I'm saying everything in me, my spirit, my flesh, they agree that this is the right decision. And I said, well, that can't be. Either your flesh isn't agreeing with it, or the spirit isn't agreeing with it, or you're completely off base either way. But you cannot have both of those agree. Because our flesh and our spirit, they are always going to disagree with each other. Always, always, always. The flesh, that sinful part of ourselves, cannot be rehabilitated. It can't be. There is no hope to rehabilitate the sinful patterns of who we used to be. But we find that God gives us the power. He gives us new desires. He gives us new thoughts. He gives us a new mind, a new way of thinking. And so we can go to God's Word and allow God's Word to transform our mind. And we have a whole new set of ideas, a different set of ideas. And God gives us this alignment with Himself through the person of the Holy Spirit. Listen to John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will ask the Father, the words of Jesus, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. So this Holy Spirit that Jesus promises, He lives within us. And so we can depend upon Him. He dwells within us. He's supposed to be at home within us. Now, let me briefly just talk about a couple of things. Let me tell you how deceitful our flesh can be. The flesh, the habits of who we used to be before we come to Christ. Because our flesh will tell us all manner of things to try to downplay its seriousness. Sometimes we'll hear people and they'll say something like this. Well, Satan and the world, they use the flesh in our lives. Satan knows that we wrestle with the flesh, and so he uses it to tempt us. Or the world throws things at us, and the world uses our flesh to tempt us. And if we're not careful, we will try to explain the deadly nature of our flesh. We'll try to explain it away as just a tool that Satan and the world may use against us, and we act as though if Satan were not tempting and the world were not so fallen, then our flesh would pose no issue. Can I just tell you, that is not biblical. In the absence of Satan's temptations and in the absence of the world's alluring nature, our flesh would be just as deadly, just as deceitful. It would lead us astray just as readily as if the world and Satan were involved in that. So we have to understand that this is coming from this unredeemed part of ourselves, a person that we once were. And so if we start downplaying the seriousness of the flesh, we will also downplay the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Another thing that you hear is this. Well, you know, everybody struggles with that. And when we say that, what we're saying, inadvertently, we're saying, well, you know, it's really not that serious because it's so common. If everybody struggles with it, then it must not be that serious because you struggle with it and I struggle with it. And that's just part of living life. And we just need to get on with it. Can I just tell you, that's a dangerous way to think. Because if we say, well, you know, everybody deals with it. Everybody struggles with it. And since everybody struggles with it, we can just sort of shrug our shoulders and say, well, that's just a common suffering, a common struggle, a common temptation of everybody. So does it really matter? Can I just tell you, I remember coming home from school one day and looking at my mom and dad and saying, I know I scored a low score on this test, but can I tell you, the issue had to be the test because everybody in the class failed. Everybody made a low grade. And so it's got to be the test. And they agreed with me that, you know, out of 30 people, if everybody failed the test, either there was something wrong with the test or there was something wrong with the instruction. Well, can I just tell you, when it comes to God, when everybody fails because of sin, there is nothing wrong with the test. And there is nothing wrong with the instruction. There is a problem with the test taker, not the test giver. And so we have to understand, just because it's common doesn't mean it's any less serious. So God gives us this new alignment through the person of the Holy Spirit, and He realigns our thoughts with Him. Can I ask you this? Are there any thoughts or desires that may be going on in your heart and in your mind from a fleshly standpoint that are standing in opposition to God? And let me just tell you, if they're standing in opposition to God's Word, they're not from God. And so what do we do whenever we experience that? What do we do? How do we set our minds? Well, we understand that the Holy Spirit gives us a new alignment with God. The other thing we need to understand is that the Holy Spirit gives us a new life in Christ. And we've talked about this before, but I want to camp out here for just a moment. Look at verse 10 of Romans 8. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The Holy Spirit gives us a new life in Christ. The Bible tells us that we're new creations in Christ. The old has passed away. We are not the same people that we once were. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, Paul writes, "Even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Now, that means we are not, if we're followers of Christ, we are not who we once were. This is important because sometimes people will say something like this. "Well, you know, I'm really wrestling with this sin. And, you know, I've got these two natures inside of me. I got my sinful nature and I've got my spiritual nature, my God nature, Jesus's nature. And they're wrestling with each other." It's like that old Native American parable that I heard one time about the old grandfather who sat down with his grandson. He said, "Inside you have a white wolf and a black wolf, and these two wolves represent good and evil, and they're always fighting inside of you, and the one who's going to always win is the one that you feed." And I've heard people take that illustration, they use that, and they said, that's what it's like to live for Jesus. You have this sin nature, and then you have God's nature, and they're duking it out inside of you. Can I just tell you, biblically, you don't have two natures. You don't. You have one or the other. Either you're being controlled by your sin nature, all right, who you are naturally as a person, which is who you are before you come to Christ, or you're being led by the Holy Spirit, and that is who you are after you come to Christ. You are a qualitatively different person in each case. So you don't have two natures. You have the habits, the pattern of your old nature. And I know some people will say, "Well, that's what I'm saying." Well, then say it. Then use the right words, because words have meaning. And if we get those mixed up, we communicate something that is not biblically accurate. You're who you once were in Christ, who you once were before Christ. That person dies at salvation. Those habits linger, but who that person was, who you were before Christ, is dead. You are a new person with a new nature. Now, we're still going to sin. We're still going to wrestle with that. But it doesn't define who we are. Beforehand, before we come to Christ, that's what defines us. We are in sin, and that is our identity. Once we come to Christ, we are in Christ. We have a new identity in Christ, but we have those lingering habits of who we once were. Sometimes the flesh wants to tell us that you've not changed. There's no hope for changing. You're the same old that you've always been. You see, you're going into that sinful pattern again. You're going into that sinful cycle again. You haven't changed. And there may be some cases where God is convicting us to show us that we have not changed. But in some cases, we may have truly changed, but our flesh is wanting to condemn us and tell us you are just as much of a sinner, just as lost as you were before you said you came to know Jesus. You're nothing has changed in you. Now, granted, it is true. If there's absolutely no change in your life, there's no Jesus. If Jesus comes into your life, there is a change. There has to be, because you're a new creation. You've been given a new identity. You've been given a new nature. You've been given a new mind. You've been given new desires. Something will change. It must change. So with that in mind, what's the other thing that we find in this passage about the Holy Spirit? Well, Holy Spirit gives new alignment with God. That's a new desire. The Holy Spirit gives a new life in Christ. That's a new identity that we have in Him. And the Holy Spirit gives a new power over sin. Now, don't miss this. Verse 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But listen to this verse. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. What does that mean? Well, we talked about this last week, and we mentioned it earlier today, that whenever you come to Christ, the old you dies on that cross. So the old self dies, is crucified with Christ. Now, we didn't have anything to do with that. That was all Jesus' work. So the old self is crucified with Christ. But the habits, the sinful patterns of the old self, the flesh, we crucify by the Holy Spirit. So the old self has died with Christ on the cross. The habits of the old self, the patterns, the flesh, we must crucify by the Holy Spirit. For if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. By the Spirit you put to death. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, Paul writes, "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." We crucify by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? What does that look like? I mean, you say, okay, well, I'm supposed to crucify the flesh. How do I do that? Do I just walk around saying I'm going to crucify the flesh? And what does that look like in real time? And how much of it is God and how much of it is me? Well, the point is, when we know what God says, we respond to Him. That's the very essence of faith. You've heard me say this many times before. We receive a report from God, and then we respond in the right way. That's faith. So God gives us the report. We look at God's word, and God says, this is what you need to forsake. This is what you need to avoid. This is what you need to say no to. These are the things you say yes to and that you pursue. And this is how I am telling you to live. And it's not just yes or no, right or wrong, thou shalt not. So that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a legalistic life. I'm talking about the things that God says, watch out for this, be careful of that, follow me in this way, exercise unity among yourselves, show love for one another, be sacrificial, avoid these things, flee from evil. These are the things that God lays out. Now, how do we live that way? We live that way by the power of the Holy Spirit within us, and we do that by crucifying the flesh. What does that mean? Let's go back to the word crucify. We don't like that word because it's so violent. But there's a reason that this is used. That is how we are to treat that unredeemed, sinful pattern of who we once were. Because the old self, don't miss this, our old selves were counted by God to be worthy to be nailed to the cross with Christ when He died. Which means the sinful patterns and habits of that old self, I must consider it, though that pattern, I must consider it worthy to die on a daily basis. Before you crucified somebody, you passed judgment upon them. You took a law, you took something and you said, you took some standards and you said, these standards have been broken. And since these standards have been broken, you must pay the price. That's the very idea of crucifixion. You pass judgment upon that individual who is going to die. So whenever we crucify the flesh, we have to consider the flesh and say, I'm passing judgment upon that part of me that is unredeemed because it is standing against the word of God, and that's the standard we use, and it is worthy to die. And so what do? By an act of the will, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we say, I'm not going to go there. Or by an act of the will, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we say, God, I'm going to step out in obedience in this area, and I'm going to do this because you've commanded me to do that. And we trust God to work in this case. Over the last few weeks, I was looking at the devotional I was sending out this morning, and we're at day 50 of this time that we've been waiting and praying and watching and just experiencing all the restrictions and the ordinances and everything to keep us safe. But I was thinking about that, 50 days. And I was talking to some people over the last few weeks, and some church leaders and some friends of mine. And one of the patterns that is emerging is that because of this time, many people have fallen into very sinful cycles, and in some cases, very sinful cycles of addiction. They're running to all manner of things to try to pass the time, whether that's abusing substances, or whether that's pornography, or whether that's just an addiction to just being online. And I know so many times we're online simply because that's the way we stay connected now, but there's just this screen addiction that's going on. And we find in many cases that people are just getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into these cycles that are leading them deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. Well, how do you break that cycle? You break that cycle by saying, God, I recognize this for what it is because your word says this. That's another reason that we need to know the word of God, because we're not going to know the truth of God and the direction of God and the leading of God if we don't know God's word. And so we go to God's word and we say, God, this is what you say in your word. God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I am going to make a decision that I am going to follow you in this area. And God, I don't want to continue giving this control over to the flesh. When you may say, well, I can't do that. That's impossible. It's too strong. The draw is too strong. The allure is too strong. The temptation is too strong. Let me read to you in Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 16, when Paul prays for the church at Ephesus, what he writes to them. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And listen to verse 19. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Meaning this, Paul is saying that the very power, the Holy Spirit, he who raised Jesus himself up out of the grave, he is the same Holy Spirit who is living within each follower of Christ. Does that kind of power give us the kind of power that we need to depend upon in order to say no to sin? If it is the power from the person of the Holy Spirit who can raise Jesus from the dead, then I can assure you it is more than enough power for us to say no to a cycle of temptation and addiction. It is. It's plenty. Right there, his power. What does that mean? Well, does that mean I just say, Jesus, help me, and then I just leave it all to him? And if I step toward that addiction, I step toward that sin, I say, well, if you don't want me to do this, Lord, you just need to stop me. No. Could God do that? Absolutely. But God has given us his word and he's given us his spirit, and we must crucify our flesh and depend upon him. Here's the hard truth. And at first blush, when you hear it, you say, I don't think that can be true. Here is the truth. If you are controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying this is, if you're a Christian, you're never going to sin. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if you are a follower of Christ and the Holy Spirit is controlling you in that moment, You cannot sin. That's the biblical truth. If the Holy Spirit is controlling you, as long as He is in control of your life, you cannot sin. But when we do sin, in that moment, we have taken control from the Holy Spirit and we've given control to the world, the flesh, or to Satan. Because if the Holy Spirit is controlling us, He can't sin. It's impossible for the Holy Spirit to sin. He's God. He can't sin. So if the Holy Spirit is controlling me, as long as He is in control, I won't sin. Now, will I sin on a day-to-day basis? Yes, because those moments I am choosing to take control from the Holy Spirit and give it to my flesh. Will I sin? Yes. Do I have to sin? No. I remember having an argument with somebody for a long while, many years ago, and he said, no, but I have to sin. I said, no, you don't have to. You will, but you don't have to. We each make a choice as followers of Christ who we are going to allow to control our lives. The habits of who we used to be or who God says we are in Him by His Spirit. Am I going to follow the habits of who I used to be or am I going to follow the Spirit of God? Let me put it to you a different way. Day by day, moment by moment, in every decision, I have to make a choice. Am I going to follow the leading of a dead person, the person I once was? Am I going to follow the sinful pattern of a dead man? Or am I going to follow the life-giving pattern of the living Holy Spirit of God within me? That's the question I have to ask on a day-to-day, moment-by-moment basis. And there may be moments for you where you say, oh, I'm just being led by the Spirit and God is leading and I'm following His Word and there's such joy and there's such peace and following Him in this way. And then in a moment, I can give control back to those old habits, that old pattern of who I used to be. And in a moment, you lose your temper. In a moment, you have lustful thoughts. In a moment, you start becoming greedy over something. In a moment, envy rises up. In a moment, you make some really snide comment. All in a moment. That's how quickly it can happen when we take control from the Spirit of God within us and we hand it over to who we once were, the habits of a dead person. So where are you this morning? Would you say, can you say, that there is an old you in your rearview mirror? Or are you still living in that place? Have you reached a point where you've made a decision to follow Christ? And if you've never followed Christ, you're still living. It's not that you have your flesh that you're combating. It's the old you. It's the person that you are right now that you are dealing with. And that God is looking at and God is saying, I sent my Son who died so that you could be set free from sin. And if you've never made a decision to follow Christ, let me tell you, make a decision to follow Him. Just cry out in mercy to Him. Cry out for mercy to Him. And He will grant you forgiveness. Jesus died on a cross for our sins so that we could know God and have eternal life. We have to just ask for forgiveness and surrender our lives and come to Him. And maybe you say, I'm already a follower of Jesus. I've been a follower of Jesus for many, many years. Well, are you crucifying your flesh? Are you actively working to look into God's Word and read God's Word and allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart? And if there's anything going on within you that is standing in the way of you experiencing that full communion with God, are you going before God and saying, God, I want to say no to this, and by the power of your Spirit, I want to crucify my flesh? It's a day, today, moment by moment vigilance that we need to practice in order to crucify our flesh. And I pray that we would do just that and we would walk in such a way that we are living according to the Spirit and that we're not walking according to the habits of a dead person. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for your Word. And God, we just, we're thankful that when we feel powerless, when we're looking at sinful cycles and sinful patterns of our lives, and we're saying, God, I don't know what to do. In the midst of that, we have hope. You have given us your Holy Spirit, and He lives within each follower of Christ, and He works in us and transforms us and leads us and guides us and points us to the truth and empowers us with a new way of thinking and gives us understanding where we didn't have it before. And so, Father, I pray that we would rely upon your Spirit in us. Father, I pray for anybody who may be listening or watching, and they may be wrestling with just a lifestyle of sin because they've never come to Christ. They've never surrendered. And I pray today would be the day they would say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, be merciful to me. And that you would create that new life in them because of that life that we have in Christ. Father, I pray for anybody who's already a follower, anybody who's already following Jesus, maybe for many years, and maybe they've just gotten into a cycle, into a habitual practice of just going back around again and again and again, deeper and deeper into sinful patterns. And it's become so much a part of their everyday life that it seems like it's normal. Father, I pray that you would help them to see that that's not normal. That's not what you desire for them. And that you would encourage them, and that you would lead them, and that you would guide them in your truth, and that they would understand the power of your Spirit to say no to the world and the flesh and Satan, and to stop living like a dead person. So, Father, I pray that you would do that for each one of us. I pray that we would be faithful to go to your word, that we'd be faithful to surrender to you and be faithful to lay our lives out before you and say, Father God, please help me by your Spirit through your word to live a life that is the life that you would have me to live, that most accurately and clearly portrays Jesus. So, Father, I pray that you would do that, and you'd do that for your glory and your glory alone. And it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.